You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade, or at least grab an extra latte. After getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Outsiders nostalgia has hit a fever pitch in Tulsa with the opening of the new Outsiders Museum. Now there's a push to restore the Outsiders gas station featured in the movie. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Gary Colson, who is spearheading that effort.
All right, so we're on with Gary Colson of, it's the company's Colson Electric, right? You're an electrician?
I am an electrician in this project, although I represent Upward Sperry, which is a nonprofit, basically formed to help our little town of Sperry.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, it's like a, like you said, it's a nonprofit group, but I saw your Facebook page and saw some of the cool stuff that's going on up there, trying to get some buildings rehabbed and get new businesses in there and just sort of raise the profile of Sperry, which, if anyone doesn't know, kind of describe where Sperry is.
Well, Sperry would be actually 9 miles due north of downtown Tulsa. So were you to get on Cincinnati or Martin Luther King and head due north, you would be there in about 10 minutes from downtown.
Right. Is it an incorporated city or is it an unincorporated part of the county? Do you know?
Well, it is an incorporated town.
Okay.
Not actually a city. So they,
right.
The town of Sperry.
Okay. All right. Well, one of its claims to fame is that part of that movie that everybody loves to talk about, The Outsiders, which, of course, was filmed here in the Tulsa area, was shot up there at a gas station, and now there's a new project centered on that gas station, and all has to do with the Outsiders house and all the refurbishing and sort of rebranding, not rebranding, but reminding people about that book, that movie, and what happened here in Tulsa. So tell us what you guys are doing.
Well, and the brainstorm behind this is Danny O'Connor of the Outsiders House Museum. Mm-hmm. He's the one that kind of got me motivated to do this, and he's very motivational. But the DX station, I have found out through social media that people actually come through here, even in its disrepair, they just want selfies with it. So our idea was to take it back to the movie set appearance, and the response has been actually overwhelming. So I just think it's really a cool thing to do, and we're getting a lot of support.
Well, that's cool. And then you set up a GoFundMe page, is that right?
Yes, I did set up a GoFundMe. You can find that on Upward Sperry or any of Danny O'Connor's sites on the Outsiders House. He's shared them as well. So, and my personal page, Gary Colson page, it's also on there.
Okay. So the goal here is what? To completely rebuild it to make it look like it did in the film?
That is correct. And next to it, we have another building or across the street. We don't know which yet. We plan on opening a little shop with, you know, T-shirts, mugs, you know, all memorabilia from, you know, DX. So that's, you know, we're going to need the gas pumps. We're going to actually buy one of the cars that was in the movie. So we'll have, it'll look just like it was in the movie. And all the outsider heads or whatever you want to call them, be able to come here and, you know, take their selfies. That's what it's all about.
Outsider heads. I didn't know there was a name for it.
Well, I might have just branded them that.
Might have just.
I don't know if I should have done that or not.
I don't know, but I think it'll serve. I would imagine. I mean, that doesn't sound insulting to me because they're into the Outsiders. And I'll tell you, it did take me a few minutes, but YouTube search, I was able to find the scene, and it's pretty early in the film, or at least one of the scenes where that gas station is featured. Was that originally a DX station, or is that something they did for the film, or do you know?
At that point, they did that for a film. It's been Barnstall, Oil. It's been about three different, but they branded it DX for the movie. That was all props.
Okay. So, but DX was a real company with real gas stations, and they may still be. I don't know. But that's going to be a bit of a challenge, finding that stuff. How much money are you guys trying to raise to do all this?
Totally, 30,000.
Well, that doesn't seem like that much for a full rehabilitation. Like you said, you got to buy gas pumps, and they'll have to be, you know, period gas pumps, right?
That is correct. Very, very expensive gas pumps. Signs not cheap either. Anything DX branded is highly sought after right now by collectors.
Huh. Why is that, you think?
Well, DX is not, you know, it's not DX anymore. Now it's Sunoco.
Ah.
I might be wrong here, but I don't believe DX was nationwide. I believe it was more regional.
Gotcha.
And it's just like anything else. I've looked at several signs, and you know, most people don't want to sell them because of their popularity.
Interesting. All right, so let's back up for a second. How did you get involved in the whole outsider thing? Are you an outsider head?
Well, I am now. I'll try to not make this too long, but Ted's Hamburgers is in my family, and Danny did one of his Burger Brothers scenes at that, and so I started watching Danny, and then it just evolved into this. We finally got together, and it's kind of weird how that works, but I'm glad. He's quite motivational.
Do you remember seeing the movie back in the day, or was it even on your radar?
I know, I do not. And so at that time, I bought the movie. I have both. I have the regular and the long version now. I've seen it numerous times. Even at the Circle Cinema the other night, I attended that. Got to meet some of the big wigs, and it was really cool to watch it on the big screen.
That is pretty cool. I remember reading the book when I was a kid. And I think that book came out in the early 60s. I was probably 10, so around maybe 71 or 72, I read that book, and I was like blown away by the book. So I do remember going to see the film when it came out, and that's even been a year or two ago. But this is kind of cool how this whole industry is sort of built up around, you know, Danny Boy's idea of refurbishing the house. And it's kind of cool how Sperry's, you know, might be able to get a taste of that action. You said they're going to try to build like a little, like a gift shop right nearby.
Yeah. We do, and another interesting note, the 52-card pickup scene was directly across the street from it, so we have that location. We're actually going to try to rebuild it to look, you know, similar.
Interesting. How often was that gas station actually in the movie? I was only able to find the one scene with it, but
it's only in the one scene. The second time when you see him inside of a gas station, where he was working, that was not that station, actually. So the station wasn't in there very much, but it was a lot of the promotionals showed it. And, of course, you see the work shirts throughout the movie.
Right. Where did Francis Coppola find the DX sign? Or was DX still a thing back in those days, I wonder? I don't imagine you have that answer, but I'm just curious.
No, that's a very good question. I did find out, like I said, the gas pumps were actually props, and we tried to find those to no avail.
Okay, so maybe giving Francis a call. I don't know. I don't know if Danny Boy has his number, but or whether he would even remember all that. All right, this is all interesting to me, and if people wanted to find it, now you said the website could be found on Facebook pretty easy. I think somebody or the GoFundMe page, if you search for it, I would imagine it wouldn't be that hard to find. But how do you find the actual gas station? Where exactly is it? Where are we talking about?
Well, in downtown Sperry, Cincinnati hits downtown Sperry. If you were coming from the south, the stop sign is right. It's, you know, just before you get to the stop sign. So where the main part of downtown, there's a gazebo. And this is just within 300 feet of it.
So smack in the middle of town. And what is the cross street? So Cincinnati and what?
Would be about 90, Highway 11. It's just a little bit south of Cincinnati Highway 11. It's actually right around 96th Street, as a matter of fact.
Gary Colson. American Legion Post No. 1 has been in the same building for over 90 years. Recently, the post has run into some financial difficulties. KRMG's Russell Mills recently talked to Brian Davis with the post to find out what the American Legion does, how it helps local veterans, and how people can help the post today.
The Tulsa American Legion Post, which now has been here for, 100 years and in its current home for about 90 of those years, and how kind of having some issues keeping that home. We're on with Brian Davis. You are commander of American Legion Post 1. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we Oklahomans love their veterans. There are a lot of them. And, I mean, this is obviously it's a private organization. It's not a governmental organization or anything, but it is a nonprofit. It does important work. And it is Legion Post 1. I mean, does that literally mean this was the first American Legion Post in the country or in the state? Can you explain that?
Well, we're the one is definitely it's every state will have a post one if it's still operating, but we are also the oldest operating post in the nation,
which is amazing. Kind of a cool piece of history. What was the centennial like for you? Was that a good celebration? Did you guys have fun?
Well, for us, it was a great celebration, Russell. We had members that we hadn't seen in a while. The older members come through. We had people from out of town come through. Some dignitaries with the city come through. It was a great opportunity to show off our historic post. It's a really unique building on the inside. I don't think there's another post like it in the country. We had several events culminating in the Commander's Ball, which was in my honor. You know, that was quite an honor. And we just had a great week, and we appreciate the publicity from everyone. And, you know, we just want to kind of keep that momentum going as we turn into our second century. And you're right. It is a struggle sometimes to keep the doors open.
Can we talk a little bit, and we're going to get into that for sure, but can we talk a little bit about what the American Legion is, what it does? Because I think a lot of people confuse it with the VFW. And you probably get a lot of that.
You know, we're about a block apart from each other, so we certainly hear that quite a bit.
Which,
you know,
also adds to the confusion, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
right. It really does, you know. The American Legion, a brief history, you know, we're the oldest veterans service organization. The American Legion actually wrote the bill to establish the Veterans Administration, which is pretty significant. We are chartered by Congress. We're an organization. We're the only veterans service organization, I believe, chartered by Congress. The VFW might have a congressional charter. I'm not sure. But, yeah, we are an organization for veterans that served in the military during a time of war. And we're currently taking veterans from the War on Terror, which goes back to, I believe, 1999. So any veteran from that period is certainly eligible to join the Legion at this time. And I also believe that there was legislation just passed where any veteran is now able to join the American Legion, which should help substantially too.
And as a service organization, what do you guys do?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because, you know, not too many people know where we are. We're on 8th Street west of Peoria in a large white building back there. But the veterans seem to find us, and the veterans community knows where we are. We last year we saw 1,600 local veterans. Most of them are from the Tulsa metropolitan area, but they do travel to get to see us. We have three award-winning veterans accredited Veteran Administration service officers, which these veterans come to see. And these gentlemen help the veterans navigate through the VA process, whether that's filing disability. We can help with home, with loans, anything the Veterans Administration offers. We can certainly help navigate that. And probably 75% of what the service officers do is filing disability claims for veterans. And we're very successful at that. You don't need an attorney. You can come right down to our office and we do it for free. We take care of the veterans. We follow them through the process. We stay in touch with them. And, you know, it's usually 100% successful. The first time claims are filed with our system, we offer food, for veterans that need food. We pay utility bills for them when we have funds available. If homeless veterans, we get them into the Barracks program, which is another nonprofit organization for homeless veterans. We'll take care of helping with that. You know, we have some great stories helping veterans. You know, a gentleman came in one day and had an envelope in his hand and he couldn't read it. And come to find out, he was owed, the VA had $42,000 sitting in just looking for an account to put it in. So we helped him get our service officers got him an account and stayed with him for a couple of days and got him on the right path. So, we provide such a service here in town, I believe, for these veterans. And it's an honor to be part of that. And I appreciate you letting me get the word out of exactly what we do here in town.
It is my honor to do so. Now, Let's be clear here. While you guys have a congressional charter, I don't think you get a lot of money from the government or any, or is it all volunteers and donors that funds your operations?
Yes, we certainly don't get any money from the federal government. We actually don't even get any money from the United Way. We're totally self-supporting because we strictly are a veteran service organization, and we don't necessarily help the general public, and that takes us away from the community food bank. It takes us away from the United Way. So basically, we're self-supporting.
And have you seen a drop off? It seems like if the information that I'm hearing third hand, so that's one of the reasons I'm talking to you, is that donations have dwindled in recent years.
The active membership is an elderly membership. Donations have dropped for several reasons, I believe. Yes, our donations have dropped. A membership, you know, we're trying to reach, you know, the second problem we have is getting the younger veterans to come in, the ones from the war on terrorism. And, you know, we're here for them, but for some reason, they're just not ready yet to come. I understand, but we're here for them to help them. But, you know, we're here when they're ready to come. And we're working for them. We love them. But we're just not getting the younger veterans. And that's a problem with all posts across the country and the organization itself. We discuss it at our Oklahoma meetings and the national convention. But, yes, to answer your original question, I'm sorry. We are totally self-supporting, and we get no money from any of your organizations that support nonprofits for the most part. You know, the veteran community has been very good to us, helping us. That's for sure. Organizations like Soldiers Wish, Eagle Ops, those type of organizations, local organizations.
So the goal now is to get the word out. I guess there's two goals here. One, to get the word to those veterans from, you know, like the first Gulf War, for example, or from, you know, Afghanistan or the second round in Iraq. And let's face it, those guys that were in the first Gulf War, now they're starting to get into their 50s and 60s, right? Because that's going back now, you know, 25, 26 years ago.
Hey, now you be pushing me up there. They're in their 40s, I think, you know. But you're right. That's the problem. We want to get that word out to those young men and women who served our country that we're here for them. That is exactly one of the problems. Yes, sir.
And then the other, I guess, challenge right now or goal is to simply fundraise to get more money because you guys want to stay in your home. And I think I mentioned it quickly at the beginning of this conversation, but you've been in that building for what, 90 years now?
Since 1927, that's correct. And that is a challenge. You know, it takes around $6,000 and $10,000 a month to run that building. We're all volunteers. We're very few of us are professionals. We have only two paid employees, and their pay is minimal. They're part-time, no benefits. So all of our money goes back to the veterans in one way or another, either keeping our building doors open or directly going to them in form of utility payments, shelter, clothing, that sort of thing. That's basically, yeah, all the money goes right back to those guys and girls who've served our country. And, it is such a struggle. We've been fortunate. I've been the commander. This will be my second year. I was the adjutant before that, and I've dealt with these struggles. It's so stressful, Russell, to have such a great thing and just be worried all the time that, you know, we're between between 90 days and 6 months away, I feel like, from shutting those doors sometimes. And that's just a terrible, terrible thing for me to have to deal with, and for our membership and for our board to have to deal with. But we're not marketers, you know, we're not professional at soliciting funds, but we are good at helping veterans and making them feel welcome. So, you know, any kind of help from the city or corporations, yeah, I really am just kind of sending a flare to let the citizens also know, remind them that we're here and that we do need help.
Brian Davis with American Legion Post number 1. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.